You're listening to the Ellie Castro Show. I am Ellie Castro.
I'm Alexi Castro.
And I'm Jose Rodriguez.
If there was one subject in school that really gave me a hard time, it was English, right? Because when I came from Puerto Rico, I really didn't know a lot of English. So I always felt like I was trying to catch up. I always felt like I hadn't read the same books that kids had read.
Right, because while everyone's there bored out of their mind saying, I already know English, you're over here like, ¿qué?
Yeah, I'm like, Mary had a little what? Never even heard of Mary.
Did they put you in like remedial English?
No, they just left me there to like hurry up and catch up, which I'm grateful for because I didn't get held back. But I'm the one going, ¿qué hizo Jack? ¿Qué le pasó a Jill? You know what I mean?
Right. Why did Jill do that to Jack?
Pero espérate, Humpty's dead? Because that's not even a good story. That's a tragedy.
And Little Boy Blue what? Well, I don't get it.
I still don't know what happened to Little Boy Blue.
No.
Yeah. The name alone took me forever. I'm like, ¿qué pasó con el niño azul? Notice how when I go back to as a kid.
It's Mexican.
I'm a Mexican. I'm a little Mexican boy. Yeah. ¿Qué le pasó al niño Jesús? El niño Jesús ayudó al niño azul. You know, of course, I don't even remember how I spoke Spanish when I was a kid, but apparently I was a little Mexican kid.
Definitely.
So one of the classes that I remember in high school giving me a hard time was this class in English that tried to teach us poetry. Now, I've always hated poetry, okay, because it just doesn't make any sense. The same way I've always hated Shakespeare.
Yes.
Because English is hard enough. Shakespearean English is not even fair.
Horrible.
Like to an immigrant, that's like a whole nother language.
That's just torture. Yeah. You're being punished. They were reading Shakespeare, right? And I'd be looking around the room going, you guys are joking, right?
Right. And what I hated about it is the teacher's trying to explain to you what they were trying to say. It's like, well, then why didn't they say that?
Right. That was my question.
Why are you having to decipher what they were trying to say?
Yeah, that was my question every day of class. I'd be like, why didn't William... Bella, can I call him Willie? Why didn't Willie just say it?
Right.
In a simple way. Why do we have to, 8,000 years later, still have to argue about what he meant? Okay. Yeah. But I got to do that because Willie wanted to be fancy.
Right.
Because
he wanted to use fancy words that didn't even exist.
He wanted to be thought provoking.
Well, he provoked other thoughts, okay? Other very hateful and angry thoughts.
He provoked my grades was what he did. He
provoked the bad grades, yeah. So I remember my teacher assigned us to do a poem in class, which is like horrible because you can't cheat, right? Like I can't like find a book in the library. You have to like dig within yourself.
In your inner soul and come out with something that makes sense.
Right. So I'm trying to remember like, okay, ¿qué hizo el niño azul? You know, I'm trying to think of something like that, some nursery rhyme, you know?
The good thing about you writing your own poem is you can't be wrong. Whatever you write, even if it doesn't make sense, it's right. Because then you can be like, oh, you're not interpreting it right.
Yeah. See, I needed your voice in my head because that's not what I was listening to. Right. But the voice in my head was going, you don't know what you're doing. Tú no sabes lo que haces. No hagas eso. ¿Qué estás escribiendo?
See, again, apparently, Mexican voice.
Apparently,
in your head.
The critical voice in me is also Mexican.
Right, because even if the teacher marks you off saying, this doesn't make any sense, you could say, yes, it does. Except you have to figure that out because it's my poem.
Apparently, I didn't know enough English back then and I didn't have enough confidence. That's what I'm learning from this.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. So the boy told me recently that he too was assigned a poem in class, which brought back all these horrible memories, right?
Ooh.
But then he told me that his poem scored second in the class.
Actually, I scored second out of not only my class, but also other classes as well.
See that? That's even more impressive. I could barely survive in a class of 15.
Yeah, I would have gotten second to last out of all those classes.
I would have gotten kicked out a second later. How about that?
So the assignment went like this. It was an identity poem, which means you have to start kind of like every sentence of your poem saying I am from or I am. And she gave you these kind of practice questions to kind of base your poem off of it. I just answered all of the questions. That's it. No extra fluff.
Oh, I get it. So you're confessing here on the podcast that you did the minimal amount of work.
The absolute bare minimum.
Oh, okay. So here I am blowing you up, being all proud, and you're going, listen, before you get carried away, I did the least work possible.
Not only the least work, but he took the cheat sheet that the teacher gave him and used that.
It ran with it.
Yeah, but that's genius. If you think about it, I got to give Alexi props. That's genius because he's like, wait a second. They gave me the roadmap on how to do this.
Yeah, but you know what's depressing about this? is that apparently he didn't get that from me. You see what I'm saying? So normally I like to take credit for all the great things he does, but this is something that I obviously cannot take credit for
right.
because I got as far as writing my name. That was the extent of my poem.
Right, because before we started writing the poem, she was like,
okay, guys, so whoever has the best poem will be entered in a contest to see who has the best poem out of multiple classes. Fun.
See, and at this point, I can see him thinking, will this affect my grade? And if the answer is no, then I don't really care.
What was going through my mind was, I'm just going to hope I get a B because we've analyzed one poem and now you're asking us to make a poem. That's a big jump.
Yeah, that is tough.
See, I would have loved it. I would have been like, great, I'll just write some chicken scratch and hope you interpret it.
All right, so what would your poem have sounded like?
All right. Is it there? Is it here? Missed it once. Missed it twice. I don't see it. Goodbye.
That, look, I don't know anything about poems, but that's nowhere near what a poem should sound like.
That was brilliant. What are you talking about?
That was awful. I was waiting for something to rhyme and nothing rhymed.
It doesn't have to rhyme.
That poem should be able to rhyme for people who don't understand poems, like me. Like, that's the only definition of a poem. So why don't we listen to this award-winning poem, apparently made with very minimal effort?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Okay, so this is Identity Poem, and the title alone should tell you.
Notice how little work he did,
yeah.
That he literally just titled it what the assignment was.
Yeah, this is what I was said that I had to do, and yeah. I'm doing it.
Again, very minimal thinking.
Very smart.
Okay.
Yeah. Work smarter, not harder.
I'm surprised he didn't call it The Identity Poem by an eighth grader. Go ahead.
I'm from the small house, from the small cul-de-sac, from a small neighborhood, from the house that has wonderful smells of Puerto Rican dishes in it, from the small room that I call my own, from the TV on my wall, to the phone in which I call my own. All the way down under my bed lays a memory box from years ago. I am from my mother, Sandra Rivera, to my father, Elizalde de Castro, from my grandmothers, Anna and Millie. I am from my great-grandmother, Abuelita Nati. I am from the game Heads Up we play on Christmas, from the big family get-together on Christmas Eve, and all the way from me and the adults hiding Easter eggs on Easter. I am from the saying, El mundo es del valiente, nada nunca se ha escrito de un cobarde, which was said by my great-grandmother. From when my dad translated it to, the world is for the brave. No story has ever been written about a coward. I am from the top of the bed where El Cuco cannot reach me. From the island of Puerto Rico where the belief that he is the boogeyman is common. I am from the delicious dish of picadillo as well as the amazing meal of arroz con pollo. I am from the time where I first tried out for club volleyball. From the time where after 1 year of playing volleyball, I was captain as well as setter for my school's team. And all the way from a kid I inspired to look into volleyball and want to play it. I am from a place known for the heat, from a place where it is so humid you swear that you can swim in the air. But this hot and humid place is magnificent if you know where to go. I am from a place where people play dominoes, out or inside. From a place where people dance, from a place where people march, sing, play instruments, and dance in the middle of the night. I am from the places where me and my friends hang out. To the places where I have time alone to myself, and finally to the volleyball court, where I consider it to be my second home.
That was amazing.
Bravo, bravo. Yeah. As impressive as that was, I hope you didn't confess to your teacher how little work you put into it.
Nope, I just kind of submitted it.
Which is why he probably got second place, because if he had submitted it and been like, listen, I just kind of filled in the blanks and did as little work as I possibly could.
And just hope for the best.
But he had a lot of information there, and it was very creative too, which was what I found amazing.
So let's break some of it down, okay?
Okay.
The quote that he mentions is a famous quote by my grandmother, El mundo es del valiente, nada nunca se ha escrito de un cobarde, and it is true. And it is something that I'm very proud of him for taking personally and learning from, which is amazing, right? Because he's used that as a lesson to be courageous in difficult times.
Because during my first volleyball game, when I was first starting out playing school volleyball, I wanted to quit because I just wasn't even having fun. And when you took me into the room to kind of just like talk why I should keep playing volleyball, you had mentioned that quote from Abuelita Nati. And from then on, it just let a spark.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because you thought the story was going to go. And then you brought me into my room and you gave me correazos.
Right.
Right. Because that's what quitters get. Right. Because that's what my poem would have sounded like. Right. I am from my mother, Milagros Castro. I am from my father, Elizalde Castro, Sr., who hits me with correazos and cocotazos.
I am a product of getting burnt in my hand.
Yeah, for burning screens when I was growing up. So, picadillo.
Yes.
You mentioned picadillo. Interesting because Jose is Cuban. Picadillo is different. Don't you guys put raisins in it?
Yeah, and I hate it. It is disgusting to put raisin in it.
Yeah, that is nasty.
Yeah, because when I think of picadillo, I think of what we like.
Yeah.
Except you guys, for some odd, bizarre reason,
put a fruit that doesn't belong in.
It doesn't make any sense. I've gone to so many restaurants and I'm like, oh, you guys got picadillo. And then they bring it out and I go, why you got raisins?
What is a fruit doing in it?
I don't understand. Why don't you put pieces of apples and bananas in it?
Like my grandmother, when she used to make empanadas de picadillo, she would make a separate batch for me that had no raisins.
You mean the real batch?
Correct.
And then she would make a batch that you could throw away.
See, I just want to meet the person who thought, you know, this picadillo, it's missing something.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's missing a dessert.
Yeah.
How can we combine a dessert with the meal? Because I like to eat raisins for dessert, but why wait? Why don't I just mix them so I can have my dinner and my dessert at the same time?
I mean, I asked that when I was younger because I've been adamant since I was younger that this is disgusting. It doesn't belong there. And their reasoning is it's the sweetness to the tartness of the picadillo, or, you know, the saltiness. It's sweet and salty.
Yeah, I got something. Plátano maduro. Why don't you put pieces of plátano maduro with the ground beef?
Because it is there also.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, of course.
Then leave it alone.
It's on the side.
Well, then
but
leave it alone.
But they want it in there.
No. Keep the raisins out, please.
Yes, definitely keep the raisins out.
Okay, so here's another line I want to ask you about. The line about it being so humid, you can swim in the air.
Yeah, that needs to be the quote for Florida, like to get people to come to Florida or not to come.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a deterrent.
It's Florida, where you swear you can swim in the air.
Yeah, that is not a reason to visit Florida. Because if I hear that, I'm like, oh, hell no.
Maybe that'll keep people from coming down here and it empties out our I-4 a little
more.
No,
that works if you specify which months. So do that again, except specify, you know, like when.
Gotcha. Thinking of coming to Florida during the months of May, June, July, and August.
And September, and October, and parts of November.
Don't. Because in Florida, it's so humid that you swear you can swim in the air.
I just realized that I rhymed in that quote.
Yes.
I did not know that I rhymed. In fact, I thought that whole poem had no rhyme whatsoever.
Oh my God. He just discovered a rhyme in a poem he wrote.
His brilliance.
You see that? He's like, oh my God, my poem is even better than I realized. I just gave myself an extra 5 points.
Yeah. Good job.
Okay, how about this one? How about dancing in the middle of the night?
Paranda.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, man, look at that. See that? And he was referring to our traditions during Christmas of going from house to house. That's how we carol, right? That's caroling.
Right.
And we do parrandas, where we play musical instruments, we sing, and we dance.
Well, it's caroling on steroids, because you can't tell an American just be like, oh, it's caroling, because they'll be like, oh, I get it. We show up to the house, we sing, and
we leave. Well, that's what you say to, like, you know, recruit them.
Right.
And then, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, there's like, okay, this is definitely not caroling.
Wow.
Yeah, because if you tell them the truth, then they're like, not only am I not going to go, I'm calling the cops.
Yeah, this is home invasion is what this is.
Right. So, you know, you tell them, it's like caroling. We're just going to go caroling. Yeah. And then, you know, they go, oh, can I be a part of it? And you go, yeah, sure. You know, and then they go, I'll never come to this again. This is the last time.
And then once they leave, you're like, okay, yeah, we'll keep parandaring.
Whoa. Parandaring.
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 Put that in your next poem.
I just made a word.
Yeah. Make it rhyme.
Whenever I go parandaring, I like to eat my mandarin.
See? That's a poem.
Yes.
See, so if I was your teacher, I'm like A plus.
Boom.
You just won the contest.
Yes.
All right, so of course I go online and I find a video that teaches you, or people like me, you know, basic poetry. Because I felt like poetically insufficient.
Uh-huh.
Like I don't like to feel that way with my 14-year-old son. I like to always feel superior.
Right.
And if he got like second place for a poem he barely worked on, I felt severely deficient.
Right.
Right, so I'm like, I gotta catch up. So I found this video.
What is poetry? Poetry is a piece of writing written by an author called a poet.
You know, if that was the extent of the class, I'd be like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay, poetry is written by a person called the poet. Can I leave?
But what is the purpose of poetry?
That's when I drop the class. You know what I'm saying? Like that's when I go, that's enough. Right. Okay?
They're not even analyzing like a poet's poetry. They're analyzing poetry in its full form.
Oh, you like how all of a sudden he's an expert?
No, that just blew my mind. Like
he got second place in a contest, and all of a sudden he's like, "Oh, I'm the expert. Let me break it down for you."
Now he's Edgar Allan Poe all of a sudden.
The poet's poetry is circulating around the poetry meaning itself.
Okay, relax.
Exactly.
A poem is written using rhythm, rhyme, and other artistic language to show feelings and emotions.
I just want to know why she's whispering so closely to the mic.
Yeah, that S is driving me nuts.
Yeah, this is driving me crazy. It almost sounds like she's like trapped or like she's being kidnapped. She's like in a closet. And instead of like calling for help,
she's making a video on poetry.
I almost feel like I want to like talk back to it and go, just call 911. You know what I mean? Like, are you in danger? You know what I'm saying? But it's like she wants to give a class instead of like asking for help.
It's often short, but some poets write long poems too. Rhythm and rhyme are a part of many poems. Rhythm is the beat or sound pattern of a poem.
I can't help but just get into the music. Like I'm just jamming to the music behind her. Like I've already tuned her out.
Lots of poets use repetition and similar word sounds to create the beat or rhythm. Here's an example. A candy bar, a piece of cake, a lollipop, a chocolate shake.
I did hear chocolate shake.
Yeah.
Right? I did. I'm sorry, because maybe it's her whispering, but yeah. I did hear chocolate shake.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure that that's what I heard.
Many poems that have rhythm also have rhyme. Rhyme is having the same sound at the end of two or more words, like bike, hike, and rad dad.
You don't understand. At this point, I'm already looking around for like the nearest exit. Like if this was a class, I'm already looking and going, okay, when the fire bell rings, I'm going out that door. And then I'm spending the rest of class praying for a fire drill.
Our poem from earlier has rhyme with the words cake and shake. And it makes me feel hungry.
Okay, please don't make jokes. Please don't do that. Because you're already whispering and it's already awkward. And now you're throwing a little joke in there, right? Like, it makes me feel hungry. Well, instead of thinking about food, why don't you get help, okay? Why don't you ask me to call the police and give me your location? Get out of the closet.
Another common element of poetry is alliteration. Alliteration is when the consonant sound is repeated at the beginning of words. Like, Tracy the tiger made a terrifying sound.
Okay, I'm telling you right now, I have no idea what she's saying.
I'm going to simplify the definition down. It's a tongue twister.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's called minimal effort.
There are many types of poems that poets write.
There are also many ways you could be saying this. You could be saying it louder. You could be saying it outside of the closet.
Or you could just get away from the mic.
Some common poems are acrostic, couplet, haiku, limerick, narrative, free verse.
I'm done. A poem is a poem. How many types of poems? One. Which type? The ones that rhyme. That's it.
That's where I get thrown off is when they start mentioning like a haiku or a
limerick.
A limerick, yeah.
Come on, limerick. Is that even English? You tell a Puerto Rican kid who just moved from Puerto Rico, we're going to do limerick poems.
He'd be like, oh, a poem de limber. Yo me la sé.
Okay. See, if I'm a little Mexican boy, you're a little Dominican kid. We're missing. At least you're closer. At least you're like in the Caribbean.
A narrative poem tells a story. There are characters, problems, solutions, and a beginning, middle, and end.
Hey, that's like my one-man show.
They're narrative poems, just two-hour narrative poems.
Are you kidding me? You're telling me that I can say that I'm a poet because I write narrative one-man shows?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Free verse poetry doesn't follow a pattern. You won't see rhythm or rhyme in these poems.
That's mine.
Yeah, but mine too. Mine don't rhyme or nothing. Mine are just two-hour monologues.
Humorous poems are funny, silly, and make us laugh.
Made in Puerto Rico, Law and Disorder, Capicu, Abnormal Romeo, Mira Que Nice, Words Cannot Explain. And now, coming on April 24th, All Grown Up.
Nice plug.
Coming to Zoom. Yeah. For more info, elliecastro.com.
One great humorous poem.
Freak out, yo. Watch this.
All Grown Up is my all-new one-man show coming to Zoom April 24th at 8 p.m. It's for the whole family, and it's going to be a lot of fun. For tickets and info, go to ellycastro.com. Gracias, mi gente, and see you soon. So you know that the boy attends school virtually, right?
Yes.
So he's basically homeschooling himself.
Right.
And I went to visit him, and he told me that he thought I had come earlier to the house to see him because he had heard a noise.
Yeah. So like while I'm in class and nobody's at home, I don't know why, but my hearing goes up. And so I can hear like really quiet sounds. And so a couple of days ago, we mom had brought this balloon home. And it was like this big star balloon that was like, it was like a happy birthday balloon. And Nana, my grandma, put it like kind of in the lamp. And so, you know, the fan was on and it kind of like shifted just a little bit. And it was like kind of rubbing against the lamp. So it kind of sounded like distant footsteps. And so I was like, what? Who's here? And so, you know, I got up from class while she wasn't really doing anything. And I was like, I said in my deep voice, hello?
Right, right. So he told me that. And I'm like, why did you use your deep voice?
To sound intimidating.
Isn't that interesting? Because the burglar would have heard that and would have been like, oh, no, there must be a grown person in this house.
They have a deep voice. I better get out.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If they have a deep voice like that, they must be a very large human being.
Yeah.
That's intimidating.
All they had to do was come out of the room and see, you know, some 14-year-old saying, hello, who's there?
So what else did you say besides hello?
I was like, I know you're here. Come out.
He was challenging him to a fight because he's like, I know you're here. Come out.
Yeah, come out. I'm in the back office. Come see me. I'm hiding behind the sofa.
Whenever I'm home alone, I get really paranoid. So stuff like that freaks me out. So I go into every room. And I'm like, hello, come out. Hey.
I'm 6'5". I'm 250 pounds. I'm looking for a fight. So come out.
The heavyweight champion.
I'd go outside and use that same voice, but like from outside. If you're inside the house, come out. I'm going to give you 10 seconds. I'm going to turn around so you don't have to worry about me identifying you. Please leave the house. Because the last thing you want is the person going, all right, you got me. Oh, wait a minute. You're just a kid.
Yeah.
Then what would you say?
I'm 16.
Oh, no. I thought you were 14. If you're 16, let me get out of here, sir.
I used to do the same thing when I was alone and a young kid, but I would always call for my dad. So I'd be like, hey, dad, grab the gun. There's somebody in the house.
and then you'd have to be your dad.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, what? There's some. Let me grab my shotgun real quick.
So, basically, yeah, now you're country. Yeah, now your dad's like from Arkansas, yeah. Right? And you're this Dominican kid who's adopted.
Yeah.
Right. So now you're having a scene.
Yes.
So if I'm the burglar, I'm just kind of, I'm just listening.
It's you're like just enjoying the scene.
Yeah, it's like a show on the radio. I'd probably peek out and go, no, sigue, keep going. This is kind of fun. This is awesome.
It's a Mexican intruder.
Apparently, the guy is from Mexico, right? Sigue, me gusta, sigue. Yeah.
Dad, get the gun. He's in the other room.
Oh, no. They're talking about me. I should jump out the window.
Dad, he's going out the window. Quick, run to the front of the house.
Pero let me get away. Isn't that the goal? Don't you want me to get away?
Shoot him, Dad. Don't let him come back.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I'm leaving. So I was making fun of him, right, for that strategy that he has, until I found a video on what to do if a burglar breaks into your home. And it's by a police sergeant in Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, let's hear it.
So if you're at home and your house would happen to be burglarized or someone breaks into your house while you're home, probably one of the best things you can do is to let the burglar know that you are home. Make a loud noise, holler, yell, scream. That way they realize that you're there, they'll probably flee. That would be the safest way for you to get through it and for the quickest way to get them out of your house.
See, it works.
Yeah, see, I was right. And I stepped it up a notch by calling dad to bring the gun.
Yeah. Loud noise to the boy meant speak like an older man.
Yes.
And to you, it meant like do this whole scene.
Yeah.
With characters and backstories and motivations.
And weapons.
Sound effects.
That's how his improv career started.
Yes.
Yeah, he was
when I was 10 years old.
I'm kind of wondering if you were actually rooting for somebody to be in the house, because at this point, they would have been like your audience.
Yeah.
I think like after you went from room to room, you were probably disappointed, like, oh, man.
Dang.
And scene.
Yeah. Se acabó. That was the Ellie Castro Show. I am Ellie Castro.
I'm Alexi Castro.
And I'm Jose Rodriguez.
For more information on my upcoming shows, mi gente, including my virtual April 24th show, All Grown Up, go to elliecastro.com and you can follow me on social media under Ellie Castro Comedy.
And you can follow me on social media under Jose A-Rod.
And don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
We love those 5-star reviews.
With a little bit more emotion.
We love those star...
What do you love? We love those vanilla golden Oreos.
We love those vanilla golden Oreos. Yeah, double
say,
stuff.
Right. Say it like... Think of reviews like vanilla golden Oreos.
All right.
Do you say vanilla golden Oreos or just golden Oreos?
Vanilla double stuff.
Golden? Oreos. Oh, sorry. Think of 5-star reviews like if they were vanilla golden double stuffed Oreos.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that how you say it? Yes. That's a long title.
It is.
Normally, I just eat Oreos, but you have to have vanilla golden double stuffed
Oreos.
Yeah. 8. Yes. Okay. So let's say it that way. Go ahead.
We love those 5-star reviews.
You see that? Now you're smiling and everything, right? Because you're visualizing. I tasted it. You're visualizing the vanilla golden double stuffed Oreos.
Delicious.
Remember, mi gente, life is so much better when you're laughing. Hasta la próxima.
Pa'lante.
What? He threw you off? What happened, Mr. Improviser?
Awesome. That was awesome.
You're improvising.
Because I was trying to think of his, but it's great. Oh, make grilled cheeses with waffle irons.
That's it?
Isn't it that?
That's what you improvised? That's what you took time to think of?
I was trying to think how he says it.
No, give me something new.
Oh, a new one?
Ooh. Yeah.
Dad, get the gun.
Give me another one.
We love those 5-star reviews.
Another one.
You want vanilla double stuffed Oreos?
No.
Well, guess what?
No.
You can get them at any handyway.
No. No.
Eight
no.
to a sleeve.
I don't want a commercial. I don't want a commercial. Give me another one.
You're waiting for me to clear my throat?
Yep, that's exactly. You see that? I was waiting for that. I know you want to do it, so go ahead. Do it. Go ahead, do it. Here we go. He's cleared his throat. That means he's ready to improvise. Here comes the killer. Here it goes.
See you next week.
See you next week.